And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, before I go too much further, I got to tell you, a lot of y'all know that this show is very veteran-friendly. Being a veteran myself, I'm keyed in on veterans' issues a lot of times. And I know that you have probably been hearing about these Camp Lejeune water contamination situations, the cases. And it's all over the news. It's all over commercials. You hear it on the radio. You hear it on TV. Well, I kept thinking, is this legit? I mean, is this real? Like, Congress has set aside money already to take care of this? So anyway, the bottom line is this. I've got friends at a law firm called Riley & Jackson down in Birmingham. I've worked with them. As an attorney, I've worked with them before. I mean, like, literally be on the same side of stuff. We have collaborated on issues before. And I called them. It turns out they've got five lawyers working on these cases right now. They've dedicated five of their staff, lawyers, to working these cases of Camp Lejeune. No kidding. If you were at Camp Lejeune for any stretch of time between 1953 and 1987, that's 1953 to 87, then, I mean, I'm talking like if you were a military dependent, if you were a military service member yourself, if you were there for TDY, for training, or a permanent duty station, doesn't matter, any time at all, between 53 and 87, you may have been exposed to water that has been proven to have been contaminated, that they tell me up to 19 different illnesses are attributed to that contamination. You should call Riley & Jackson. I believe in these guys. I've worked with them, like I said. Riley & Jackson, here's their phone number, 205-879-5000. I wouldn't do an ad for a law firm if I didn't trust who they are. Riley & Jackson, 205-879-5000. Just talk to them. They'll tell you if they think you may have a claim. They won't have to, you know, you won't have to pay them a dime unless they can get a recovery for you. There it is. Riley & Jackson, phone number, 205-879-5000, Camp Lejeune Marine Base water contamination. All right, folks. Let me move on from that and just, oh, I got to do that thing. I got to do that. I got to speed read. You ready? No representation made that the quality of legal service will be performed is greater than the quality of legal service performed by other lawyers. Bam. There you go. All right, Boomer, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get there.
Number three.
I'm in the third part of the triple dipper.
Yes.
A topic that I've had on my desk for three or four straight days that I've not been able to get to.
Yeah. But you got to it today.
I got to it today, at least for a little bit. Here's the deal, y'all. I'm calling this section of the triple dipper on the world stage. We have got to once in a while look outside ourselves. So, you know, we just did the Grand Council. We talked about Biden and stuff, but we also talked about the Birmingham Waterworks Board. We talked about abortion law in the state of Alabama. We had education discussions about the state legislature with Senator Del Marsh. All of that is totally relevant. It's important that we understand what's happening in our politics, but we cannot forget there's a big world out there that has news that's too often not being reported right now, or at least is not being covered. I mean, if it's not and you know, God bless her. I don't mind that they're showing the Queen's, funeral processions and all of that. I don't mind that they're, you know, showing certain things about elections along the way. But, daggum, we got to make sure we keep our eyes on all the stuff that's happening in the world. And I don't just mean just Ukraine, although I'm going to start with that. Wall Street Journal, September 11th, which is Sunday. Wall Street Journal, did you know that Ukraine has now launched a counteroffensive and they are putting the wood to the Russians? And I don't mean that like a little bit. They are literally turning the tide right now. And it's too soon to say, has this marked a shift in the war? But it has certainly marked a shift in momentum for now. So Ukraine's counteroffensive, according to the Wall Street Journal editorial staff, against invading Russian forces has taken back some 3,000 square kilometers from the Russians. They've taken back, in the last week, they've taken back more ground than the Russians have been able to seize since last April. I mean, and what's really interesting is looking how they did it. Part of it was they did what I would call a intel and psyops campaign. They literally put the word out that they're going to be attacking in the southern region of the Donbass, which is along the eastern rim of Ukraine, looking into Russia, so to speak. They were going to attack the southern portion. They're going to attack the southern portion. They made indications, and then they attacked the north. And the Russians are reeling right now. The Russians had sent their reinforcements to the south, believing that's where the attack would come, and boom, it came to the north. And the Russians are in a chaotic, what's being described as a chaotic Russian retreat into Kharkiv. One Ukrainian soldier told a reporter, "We knew there were morale problems with Russian troops, but we were shocked how many tanks and armored vehicles they just left behind. Their fight is over. They're afraid to be surrounded. That's why they run so quickly. We need to push harder," he said. Well, that's going on right now. On top of that, another story from military.com came out yesterday. Ukraine piles the pressure on retreating Russian troops. So, yeah, they literally are piling on. They're pressing the counteroffensive. They're not just taking ground and going, look at them run. They're chasing them right now. Momentum has shifted. It says Ukraine's American allies were careful not to declare a premature victory since Russian President Vladimir Putin still does have troops and resources he can tap. But the Ukrainian blitz has unfolded after months of little discernible movement on the war front. And there's reports of chaos as Russian troops are pulling out, as well as claims that they are unsubstantiated claims that they are surrendering in mass. One British analyst said, British intel analyst, said that one of the premier forces in the Russian army, known as the First Guards Tank Army, has been severely degraded during the invasion, and that conventional Russian forces designed to counter NATO have now been badly weakened. He says it will take Russia years to rebuild their capabilities. However, Russians are still fighting back in some places, pounding Ukrainian positions in and around Kharkiv, and unfortunately also still shelling in and around what is actually all of Europe's largest nuclear facility at Zaporizhia, the nuclear power plant in Ukraine. The shelling continues around there. They've actually had to, I believe, shut down that plant. It's not in this report, but they had to shut it down. General Jack Keane, you got that clip, Boomer? General Jack Keane is still, to me, one of the best military analysts out there. He runs an organization that independently conducts analysis and provides commentary. It's the Study of War Institute, I believe, or Institute for the Study of War. And he was on just a few days ago talking about the fact that we are looking at a shift right now in the war. I want to play that clip. Go ahead and play it, Boomer.
I think the Russians have made another strategic shift. I mean, phase one, they attempted to take the capital city, and obviously they failed in doing that, and Ukrainians succeeded in driving them out. Phase two, they focused on the Donbass region. We have seen since April, their attempt was to take all of it. They've only been able to take the eastern part of it, and their attack has essentially stalled. So I think what's happening here is Mr. Putin recognizes, along with his generals, that they are in a protracted war, that this is not going to go away in a few weeks or a few months, that they have got to be committed for a number of years. And I think that is where they are now, Neil. And the 137,000 is testimony to that. They haven't gone to full mobilization, which would indicate the seriousness of their problems, but they don't want to flag that seriousness to the population at home, and that's why he stayed away from that. But I think what they're thinking in their minds, that now they have to commit to a war of attrition that'll take years and wear down the Ukrainian people. The economy certainly is going to get worse. Certainly, the casualties themselves to the civilians with the continuous air and missile attack, and then the casualties to the Ukrainian soldiers and the impacts that's having on the families and the population. They're counting that this will wear down the Ukrainian people.
Go ahead. So you're looking at a shift right now. The question becomes, I mean, it looks like it's boiled down to a war of attrition. The question becomes, can Ukraine sustain? At the same time, sentiment in both countries, as the dead pile up in the Russian soldiers and they don't come home for a war that many of them don't understand. And at the same time, in Ukraine, they have limited resources by comparison, to include personnel. How long can each side sustain this level of activity? Well, I'll be honest with you. First thing that's happened, or the first thing that needs to be taken note of, is the fact that Ukraine has done far more than anybody thought they could. Now, they're being upfunded and weaponized by NATO countries too heavily by the United States. And I get very concerned when I start seeing the level of funding that we're sending over without true accountability. I want some accountability on some of that. But I do know this. The Ukrainians are fighting on their own territory, and they're fighting for the right to live. And it has been an epic destruction of the myth of the Russian bear. And that, to me, is truly still one of the biggest stories in international affairs happening in the world in this decade. Say what you want to about whether we're funding it or not funding it or whatever else. The idea that the former Soviet Union, the core of the former Soviet Union, Russia, the Russian bear, the near-peer adversary next to China that we should be most concerned about, cannot get past a little country the size of Texas. I'm just telling you, this is a big story. And we're seeing right now that Russia's military capabilities are nowhere near what they have been projected as for years and years. That, to me, is extremely interesting. Other thing that you got to know, though, right smack in the middle of all of it, you can well imagine that our foreign policy relationship with Russia is a little bit on the skids. You know what I'm saying? And rightfully so. I mean, I'm fine with that. I am fine with having tension with Russia. Work through it, but let's make sure we maintain our leverage, you know? All that to say, heck of a time for us to find out. Did you know? Most people didn't know that just last week, the U.S. ambassador to Russia is retiring and leaving Moscow, literally, right smack in the middle of all of this. CNN reports on September 4th, John Sullivan, the U.S. ambassador to Russia, has left his post and will retire, the U.S. embassy announced Sunday. In other words, he's already gone. Did anybody know that? Do you know how key a role an ambassador to a major foreign nation is at a time like this? That's the person who has the institutional knowledge to be able to negotiate, to speak on behalf of, to intervene when necessary, to get up in the middle of the night and drive to the Kremlin to have the important meetings. And he's gone? Right now? It says Sullivan departs amid a period of heightened tension between the U.S. and Russia, not seen in decades. He leaves after nearly 3 years as ambassador in Moscow, where he oversaw the embassy as it faced increasing restrictions imposed by Russia. And they go on to say, the State Department says, it was part of a planned and normal diplomatic rotation. I guarantee you it wasn't. I guarantee you they are saying, you know what, we're done. And so right now they have a temporary charge d'affaires who is holding the seat for the time being. All right, I got headlines that'll blow your mind. Like, did you know there are some who are saying China's economy is on the way to a meltdown? That makes China more dangerous, in my opinion. What about the fact that the Treasury Department is sanctioning Iranian firms for drone sales to Russia? Or how about the fact that Iran is said by one report to be about to launch an all-out drone war against the U.S., Israel, and the Gulf? I mean, the world, by the way, is not a happy place. Never mind the fact that North Korea just institutionalized itself as a nuclear weapon state. I'm telling you. Boomer, take us to a break. We'll come right back. I'll take a little bit more on this On the World Stage segment and give you some stuff that's been sitting on my desk for a few days. Things we got to know. Things we have to pay attention to, because there are times when what happens outside our borders truly impacts what happens within our borders. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Coming into the final moments of the show here, a bunch of you guys are in go-home mode right now. And I'm telling you, men and women, as you're heading home right now, you may be thinking, what am I doing for dinner? What am I doing? I don't feel like messing up the kitchen. I've had a long day. I got the project finished for the boss. But now I just want something that, you know, not only is good to eat, but almost kind of cheers me up for dinner. Well, let me just tell you, Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations in our listening area, one out on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. Just Love Coffee Cafe has not only amazing award-winning coffees, I mean, I'm talking about what Charlene calls the treat coffees, like the cappuccinos, the espressos, the lattes, all that kind of stuff. They've also got the award-winning dry roast that can grind the beans fresh, make you a steaming cup of black coffee. But they've got a menu. Woo! They got a menu, man. Sandwiches, wraps, salads. You can have breakfast, like breakfast for dinner if you want it. All day long, the menu is available. They got omelets they call womlets because they cook them in a waffle iron. They got waffles themselves. They got eggs. They got biscuits. They got stuff. Do not for a second think that it's just coffee. It's coffee and amazing food, and it's food that's kind of outside the box, like not normal. Not the kind of thing you're going to get at the drive-thru like you usually do. Just check it out. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison and South Parkway in Huntsville. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Had a text from Jeff from Indiana. He said, Phil, do you think this might be the downfall of Putin? Talk about the Ukraine war and how badly it's going for the Russians. Do you think this might be the downfall of Putin and even possibly Russia? Because the last time, he says, I think that Afghanistan had a great deal to do with the fall, meaning the fall of the Soviet Union, I believe, and how many resources they put into that, and they had to get pulled out. And the United States is now doing the same thing we did to them in Afghanistan by arming the people and costing them blood and treasure. That's a great point, Jeff. And I don't, you know, I can't say it's going to bring down Russia per se, but I think it's certainly Afghanistan, the debacle there, that was their Vietnam. They spent 10 years there. They invaded in, what, 79, I believe? And the Mujahideen were armed by the CIA and the Stinger missiles that we used to give them to take down the Hind gunships and others had a huge dramatic impact on the war. And the Soviet Union didn't last much longer after that. And now you're kind of looking at the Ukrainian war, and Jeff's not wrong. I think it won't be the downfall of Russia. I could see it being the downfall of Putin. I could see Putin being taken out or removed from office or in some way losing his opportunity to preside any further at the Kremlin. But we'll see. We'll see. In the meantime, story in National Review dated September 7th. As we look at the world stage, did you know that Putin is now threatening to halt all energy exports to the West? Well, this is a big deal because we're going into winter. It says if Europe decides to go against the contracts that Russia has with them right now, that Russia won't supply gas, oil, coal, or heating oil. And by the way, they are one of the biggest exporters in that part of the world for gas, oil, coal, and heating oil. Germany is like very dependent on energy sources from Russia to heat homes, especially during the winter. Well, this is a major deal. So the European Commission is planning on proposing a price cap on Russian gas to stop the finances that Putin uses to finance his war in Ukraine. But that also means that the retaliation to be expected, really, is Russia saying, fine, we won't sell you any of it. So there's that. More to come on that one. Switching gears, moving to a different part of the world. Story on 1945.com. They usually have great commentary. They kind of do deep dive commentary. Gordon Chang, who is a China expert, has a piece that was carried on 1945.com that was just, it's right at a month old. He says, in his opinion, China's economy is headed for one of the largest meltdowns ever. Now, I had not really heard this. I had heard that China was struggling, but I hadn't really read anything that gave me details. But he's saying right now that China flooded their economy with credit because the central bank tries to prop up the economy, and when things weren't going well, they created a false impression of well. And at this point, they say the estimates are that China may be looking at indebtedness that's 350% their GDP. 350%. That's huge. But they say that it could be even higher than that because of Beijing's constant misreporting. Well, we don't know. But I will tell you this. A China that's going down is a China that's dangerous because they're not going to sit idly by and just let themselves kind of fade away. They're going to lash out, try to stimulate their economy by, you know, other means like, I don't know, invasion or taking Taiwan, grabbing their economy. All right, folks, a quick walk on the world stage at the end of an otherwise very full show. Enjoyed this, man. This is huge. Listen, you stay tuned. Coming back tomorrow, Boomer and I will be here tomorrow at 2. We love this audience. You guys have an amazing night. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll see you then.